We are so grateful for your presence with us this morning, whether you've joined us in person or whether you are joining us online. I want to thank you for taking the time out to pause, to think, to pray, to reflect, to worship, to encourage, to give thanks, even in the midst of times of happiness and joy, as we sing about waiting on the Lord and the Lord being with us. We also think about times of difficulty and sadness. It was just this last Sunday that Nadine was sitting right there in that front row with Luther, his dear friend. And I know you all have gotten the news about her. The Bible says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And sometimes we can even weep and even rejoice at the same time. I'm thankful for God's family. I'm thankful for this body. And I know you are too. And I know Nadine she sat there last week and I commented to her that it was so good to have her back. And she looked absolutely beautiful, always with a smile on her face. And yet, at the same time, a little did she know that her last Sunday here would be her last Sunday here. But we thank our God, who in the midst of struggle and pain and difficulty and questions is consistent. And as we just sang a minute ago, you are the everlasting God. And that is where we place our hope. And we're thankful to anyone who makes the decision to make this church a part of that family, of which Nadine was a part of that family. And so while we weep and grieve with her loss, at the same time, we welcome new people who become a part of our family, because every person here is important and special. And in that light, Barb and Ted Davis want to identify with the church here at Northeast. They are sitting right over there. They are a delightful couple. Y'all raise your hand. Y'all don't have to do anything other than that. I like to tease people sometime and say that, you know, they have to do all kinds of odd or strange things to make it official. But they are both dedicated Christians, come our way originally from Texas, have lived in this area for a while. And they are a great couple. It's been nice getting to know them. And we want you to welcome them to the church here at Northeast. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that we have been talking about what it means to be a light, to be a star. The primary text, as we've been looking at life lessons from the book of Philippians, is found in the second chapter of Philippians, and it says, do everything without arguing or complaining. Maybe another translation of that might be, do everything without griping and whining. That's another way to put it. But live your lives in such a way, In a world that is sometimes dark and difficult and cruel and crooked, live your life in such a way so that you will shine among them like stars in the universe as you hold firmly to the word of life. And it is in that reality that each of us should stand back and just say, this is what God is calling me to be. If you are a child of God, it says you shine like a star in the universe, and as a star shining in the universe, there is power in your life. I mentioned last week that at the core of our sun, the temperature there is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. That is pretty hot. In the core of the sun, in a second, it radiates, and I had to write this down because I didn't want to forget. It releases energy equivalent to 90 1 billion megatons of TNT every second. 93 million miles away, and yet today, with all of that distance, there is still that power, and there is still that influence. How many of you woke up this morning and said, man, I am so thankful that the sun came up this morning? We usually don't think in those terms. We take them for granted. And I think sometimes we might take for granted what God is saying to us in terms of the power, the difference, the light that we can be in the lives of others. And as we've said in this series, it is in the darkness. It is in the despair. It is in the lowest, most difficult situations and circumstances of life that we can make a difference, that we can shine. It's in the darkness that the light makes its most powerful impact. And so last week we looked at it from this angle, and we asked the question, in terms of what kind of life are you living? Are you living a life of confidence? Or are you living as someone who is defeated? And while we may be knocked around, hit, experience difficulties, at the same time, we can look at life with a different point of view. Paul says that he is confident in them, the Philippians, that God would complete, confident that God would bring about to completion the good work that he was doing in them, and the same truth applies to us today, no matter how you express it. And so last week we talked about a lot of cliches. Last week was my cliche sermon. This was one of the cliches. Do you look at life as being, or your experience in life, is your glass half full or is your glass half empty? Do you look on the bright side? Do you see the silver lining in a cloud? Do you see the light at the end of the tunnel? Or as Paul would say himself on one occasion, when he's talking about his dilemma, his circumstances, difficult, hard, in prison, not knowing whether he would live or die, what did Paul say on that occasion? He said, to live is Christ and die is what? Gain. So in our circumstances, whatever they might be, we think often in terms of win-lose, but sometimes if we look differently at those circumstances, they are good or better and best, and sometimes it's win-win. And I think of Nadine and her faith in Jesus and her being present last week as I talked about to live as Christ and die as gain, and she believed that. She believed it. It makes a difference. God calls us to be stars. You ever think of yourself as a star? Growing up, did you ever think, you know, I want to be a star? How many of you have fantasized about being a star someday? Raise your hand. Yeah. You fantasize in your mind, you're playing basketball. He shoots. He scores. They win. The crowd goes wild. Some of you giggled when you saw this. How many of you remember the old show Star Search? It ended back in the 90s. And actually, a lot of people got really big starts in their careers as stars on this show. Leanne Rimes. I looked at a list this week of the people that got their big start on this show Star Search. Beyoncé, Usher, Leanne Rimes, you know, the list goes on and on. Britney Spears, okay, I could have left that one out probably. And then in the area of sports, how many of you remember these guys? What were they called? You remember what the nickname was for these dudes? The Dream Team. 1992. I think maybe that was the first year they allowed professional basketball players, if I remember right, to compete in the Olympics. And of course, at that time, we had some of the greatest professional basketball players playing ball, including Larry Bird and Irvin Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. And I believe, this is just my opinion, it doesn't have anything to do with my sermon this morning, but I believe Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player who ever played. That's just my opinion. How many of you agree with me? All right. Some might say Oscar Robertson. I can think of others. They averaged beating other teams by 44 points a game. And, of course, they took the gold medal. And I did not realize it today, but this is an unbelievable opportunity we have. But we're able to have Michael Jordan here with us today at church. I kid you not, those of you who are viewing online, I am not making this up. He is right over there. I want you to stand up, Michael. Stand up. Come on, Michael. Yeah, give him a hand. Yeah. He's changed a lot over the last few years. It's that beard. It's that beard that does it. But there's a difference in being a star and being popular, maybe for what you do, the way you play, the way you sing, whatever you do. There's a difference in that and the idea of being a star for something good, or just being a star or being famous just for being famous. Now, if I were to ask you who this bunch of ladies are, or is, who are they? Kardashians. And you know, I was looking at a website this week, and the name of the website is CelebrityTube.com, and it's a website that it's about everything celebrities. And they had an article about people who are celebrities just because they are celebrities. They're celebrities for being celebrities, and this is what it said about them. It says some people are famous because of their last name, others because of their relationship with a celebrity, others because they manipulate the media. I mean, how many people become stars on the internet in a week's time because of YouTube or TikTok or something like that? And then they go on to talk about Kim Kardashian, and it says about her, she's probably the most famous person in the world right now, and she's famous for nothing in particular. She didn't become famous because of her role as a reality star. She didn't become famous for being a designer. She didn't become famous because she modeled for some major designers and did some magazine shoots. And she certainly didn't become famous for marrying Kanye West. She became famous because of an unfortunate tape that was leaked that puts her in a compromising position, and the rest of her career came from that. That's what got her big start in her career. And so there are people out there who are just famous, sometimes for being infamous, whatever that might be. And then that leads me to this question. The most important question is not, will you become famous or popular or a star, but in terms of how you look at others and how you think of popularity and stardom, this is a far more important question, isn't it? Who do you admire? It's a far different question. Who do you admire and who's most popular? And I think this question gets to the heart and core of the kind of stardom and being stars that we want to talk about. Back in 1999, there was a Gallup poll, and it was one of those polls every year. They talk about the most admired people in the United States. They do that poll every year. It changes from year to year. But in 1999, Gallup did a poll and ask the question, who do you most admire in the entire century of the 20th century, the 1900s? And it can be people from anywhere in the world. And the top 18 were people that you would not be surprised by. And as you look at these pictures up here, I probably don't need to tell you who these people are. The only one you might not know, that is Helen Keller. And of course, most of us know her story, her blindness, what she accomplished, the good she did for others. That's Albert Einstein right there. But you can look at this entire list of people, and whether they were politicians or whether they were scientists or servants, everybody in this list contributed in some positive way in terms of leadership to society and to the good of others. And so when we talk about this question of do I want to be a star, what kind of star am I, this is the kind of thing we need to think about. It's the question that might come to our mind, hey, what if we were to have a Northeast All-Star team? Who would you vote for? Think about it. Who would make our All-Star team? And let me ask this question. Would you make the Northeast All-Star team? Now, that's kind of a loaded question, and there's some nuances to that question because, you know, maybe we might say, well, the people who are up front the most, maybe garner the most attention, maybe the ones who are most popular in terms of the ones that people know. I would certainly put our elders right up there. Of course, I'm supposed to say that, right? But I mean it. They had a meeting yesterday. They meet all the time. They do a lot of good things. I don't know how long you guys, I knew you guys met yesterday. I'm just curious, how long did that elders meeting last yesterday, Charlie?
Too long.
4 hours. And that's a short meeting for them. That they're not doing that for their health. They're not doing that for me to say something about it this morning. I would think that a lot of times if we were to say who's on our all-star team, we might place those people who are the most known, the most up front, the most visible. And yet you go to the Bible and you see in the Bible Jesus talking about people who had gifts or talents, the parable of the talents, the five-talent person, the two-talent man, the one-talent person. Many of you are familiar with that story. The man that just had the one talent was not condemned for having one talent versus having more. There are some people who maybe, depending on how you look at the scale, are more talented. They can do certain things better than others. You know, they're just gifted in all kinds of ways. And yet, that person who may not be as noticeable or seen or popular, if you want to use that term, they would certainly make that all-star team as well. Paul says even those weaker members of the body are just as important as those who are more prominent. And they all make up the body. They all make a difference. It would be a tough vote, wouldn't it? Who would you vote for? Some people who are home right now and shut in would be included on that list, in my viewpoint. So it's not always everybody who's up front. Let me put it to you this way. What would Northeast be like if everyone was like me? And I don't mean Grady. I mean, ask that for yourself. What would this church, this is our church, this is our family. And so, just as Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, if he were writing today, he would write to us, you know, that letter would be to the Northeasters, the Northeasterners, I don't know exactly how you'd say it, the people that live in the northern area of Cincinnati, most of us. What would this church be like? Ask yourself that question. And what I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that we all have the same roles, we do things differently. Some of us have more money, less money, more talents in other areas than other people, less and more. I'm just talking about the desire for the best, not only for ourselves, but for this body, for this family, this Northeast family, in terms of interest and commitment and connection. And I'm talking about people who physically, or because of their age or their circumstances, might not be very well known or might not be present that much, but very much invested in the life and the health of this body, committed to this body. Alan Moffat has been bedridden for weeks. The doctors told him months ago that he had days or weeks to live. And now he's gone. I think he's entering into month 5. He's a tough, tough guy. A tough, faithful man. He and Jerry. They love the Lord. They love this church. I know if they could, he would be here with us today. But because of circumstances, he can't. But they not only love Jesus, but they love this body. They love you. They love this church, even if they don't know who you are. In terms of commitment and love and passion. See, Paul is talking to a church at Philippi. The church is divided. There's conflict. There are a lot of people who are thinking, me, 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 I, it's all about them. And Paul told them, he said, listen, this is how you change things. We talked about this last week and the week before. But he says, the way to fix that is you need to have the attitude or the mind of Christ. Do nothing out of selfishness. Do nothing out of pettiness. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others. And he's talking to the church at Philippi, but it applies to Northeast as well and outside Northeast. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest or the needs of others. And then he goes on to say after that, this is how you do it. Look to Jesus. He humbled himself. He put others first. He wasn't just thinking about himself. And so, to me, if we're talking about wanting to be an all-star, as we are stars that shine, this is a key verse. It goes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to look at some application today in the lives of two people. But the question is, are you selfish or are you sacrificial? Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to dig more into some of the other questions we looked at, like are you joyful or gloomy? But today we're continuing this discussion right here. And you can't have that discussion in the book of Philippians without talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Paul had people in his life, his network, that made his work, his ministry, his life better, that propelled him, gave him encouragement, were a part of his team. They would travel. They would do things with him. They would take chances many times as they worked with him in this business of sharing Jesus with the world. And so there were people like a man named Tychicus, and there was John Mark, and there was Aquila and Priscilla, and there was Luke the physician. But two of the key comrades, helpers, associates, teammates of Paul were these two. And the plan was, when Epaphroditus came to Paul there in Roman imprisonment, had brought a gift from the church at Philippi, the plan was for Epaphroditus to stay for a period of time with Paul. And the plan was, Paul was going to send Timothy back to the church at Philippi, and Epaphroditus was going to stay with Paul for a while. But in the reading this morning, you see there, and a couple of other places as well, he got sick. We don't know why he was sick, but he almost died. And so there was a change in plans. And so instead of Timothy going back, he was going to send back to them Epaphroditus, because Epaphroditus had gotten ill and they were concerned about him, and he felt like that was the best thing. Now, he could have used both of them. And yet Paul is thinking about the Philippians. Don't just be concerned about your own interest, but the interest of others. Paul certainly could have used Epaphroditus with him longer, but he decided to send him on. And you see how they are described in this passage, and it is so impressive. In talking about Timothy, it says he takes a genuine interest in your welfare. He says about Timothy that he proved himself. And the word that's used there in the original is the word that describes being tested in an intense way. Like maybe what you would do to fire up metal or something like that, to be tested as genuine. He proved himself. He served with me. And then when he talks about Epaphras, by the way, he's called Epaphras in the book of Colossians. It's kind of a nickname for Epaphroditus. Kind of like William and Billy. So he's called Epaphras in Colossians. And in Colossians, as Paul talks about Epaphras, he says he labors, he wrestles for you. And he's talking about the church at Colossae. He wrestles for you in prayer. He cares about you so much. But he took care of my needs, and he longs for all of you. He almost died for the work, risking his life. That's a pretty impressive description, isn't it? He risked his life. How many of you would risk your life for somebody else? You might say, well, it depends on who that somebody else is, right? I would probably say the same thing. But in terms of those who are a part of the body, we're talking about the body of Christ here in this context, which is more likely or which is more important, risking your life or giving yourself? Most of us will never be put in a position where that first question applies to us. Now, it does happen. I talked about that couple last week who died in Uganda. This is the more important question right here. Giving yourself. How do you give yourself? There's so many practical ways in terms of how we give ourselves. The list is just absolutely endless. This week, there's a funeral. There will be a sign-up sheet that goes out to this church to sign up to bring food for the family and friends of Nadine. And I tell you what, when that thing goes out, it gets filled up just like that. It gets filled up in half a day. Now, the people who do that may not ever be required to give their life, but they are giving something because they care. I think of a host of people in this church who have worked together to help one of our sisters get into a position where she can live on her own, be in her own place. She's facing struggles and difficulties, has major health issues, experiencing surgery this week. And in terms of the people I know who have helped this woman, it would be literally in the dozens, if not scores of people who have done specific things to bless this woman. And it's because they are wanting to have the mind of Christ, whatever it is done. How many of you have ever, and I couldn't help but think as I'm putting this lesson together, just the idea of coming to church. How we view what we do in terms of our relationship with each other. Some of you are wondering about this, aren't you? I've mentioned it in a sermon before, but I've never given you a picture. A few weeks ago, we were traveling down in Alabama, down in L.A., lower Alabama, for those of you who aren't familiar with that. I used to live in L.A. I tell people that. I used to live in lower Alabama, part of my life. And between Birmingham and Montgomery on I-65, going north, north of Montgomery and Prattville, you start to get to area around Clanton, Alabama. There's a couple of exits there. And this big billboard will catch your eye. How many of you have been there and actually seen this before? Okay, Rob has seen it. Anybody else seen this billboard? I mean, it's gotten some attention in the national press when in 2016 this billboard was blown down and then they put it back up. But I want you to think, often we think about, you know, I got to go to church, I got to get to church. And then we have Hebrews 10:25, and we know what verse that is, right? That's the go to church verse. That's the not forsake the assembling verse, right? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. But here's the point. It's not just about us punching a time clock. It's not just about us making our appearance when we come together. It's about what we do when we're together. We're in the people business. We're in the relationship business. And so when we come together, whether worship, whether other circumstances, it's about what we can do for each other. And so the next question comes up in terms of what am I going to do? I love this verse. Not going to spend much time on it this morning, but 1 John 3 asks this question. How do we know what love is? Love is being willing to lay down our lives for our brothers. Already talked about that. Most of us are not going to be asked or required to do that, although at times we may. If anyone has material possessions, sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We are in the people business. We are in the servant business. And so the question comes up as we look at some takeaways. A couple of things here. How do we grow more in the blessedness of giving? How do we grow in what Jesus says, and Paul quotes him in the book of Acts, it's more blessed to give than receive. And there are so many ways that we can grow in the blessedness of giving as we grow up, as we mature. A baby, I've talked about this before, a baby is totally self-centered. That's all they know. That's all they need. They need from others. They need food. They need nurturing. But as a baby grows up and becomes a child and then an adult, they learn that there is something they can do. They can give. It's not all about me, me, me. How can I grow more in the blessedness of giving? First and foremost, let Jesus change your heart. And I'm just going to make a quick point with this. I'll make some more points about it in the future. If it's not coming from the inside out, it's just me doing a prescribed set of things or doing some rituals or obeying some rules and somehow feeling by that that I am giving in the way Jesus is asking me to give my life. It takes, first of all, being born again, transformed, a new creation in Christ. It is a miraculous thing that when we turn to Jesus, put our faith in Him, you know, we go down in that water, we come up a new creation in Christ. He gives us a new nature. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in us. And what we do and how we respond, we nurture that in our lives. And I'm going to skip that question, but it's really good, but we'll just skip it for now. Some quick hits right here at the end. What can I do? How can I grow more in the blessedness of giving? I'd say number one, not most important, take advantage of planned opportunities that we have. And I'm not saying that because, listen, we have this organization and we want to create activities and we want to be looked at as, you know, busy, a busy church and all that kind of stuff. This is who we want to be. This is who we are. And so there are opportunities all the time. Some people will be serving at City Gospel Mission this week. This summer, you'll have opportunities to serve with Focus on Youth. You'll have opportunities to serve related to Kumo. You'll have countless opportunities this summer to get plugged in and do something. And this is one of the ways that we can do it. Number two, I want to tell you something. I get frustrated with this clicker. But my glass is half full. Serve with your children. Listen, our kids are facing a bombardment of messages, social media, life. Everything. It's about me, what I do. How does the world respond to me? How are people reacting to me? You know, and so the world might say to our children, you can be a star, or you're a star. But it has a completely different meaning from what God says to us when He says, I want you to be a star. It's about being a shining star in service, in life. Include your kids in your service. They need to see you serve, and they need to understand from you why you're serving, whatever that may be. Act quickly on your good impulses. And this is all I mean by this. How many times this week or over the last month have you had the impulse, you know, I need to dot, 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 dot. You know, I'm going to send a card to dot, 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 right? Hey, remind me. I'll tell Jeannie sometimes. Remind me to dot, 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 dot. You know, it's about doing something for others. And then a lot of times we get distracted and we forget about it. And then the I need to becomes the, oh, I meant to, or I should have. And so when you get that good impulse, that thought, you write it down to make sure that you're going to do it and you're going to follow through. Because I think so many times in my life, I thought I need to do this, and if I don't write it down or don't think about it, it's not that I don't care. Just things happen. Life happens, right? Try to react to that initial impulse to do something good in terms of service. And here's my last point. Do something anonymously. So I'm visiting the Moffitts a few weeks ago, and when I go visit them, there's a lady from here at Northeast visiting them. And this is my guess. My guess is that the only person knew that she was there was her husband. She was not there hoping that I would pop in and see her there visiting the Moffitts. That's just what she was doing. She wasn't doing it to advertise it. But I tell you what, it's a struggle. And I've told you before, I have this problem because I'm a people pleaser. And I am trying to let God get in my heart in such a way and be like Jesus that I'm not so tempted to let folks know what I'm doing so they will think something good about me. And I know we're supposed to let our light shine, but ultimately it's about pleasing our God and making Him happy and pleasing Him. I got a note this week. And I got a note from, it's an anonymous note. And I've told you before, I've gotten anonymous notes before. Half of them have been nice, maybe, of the anonymous notes I've gotten through the years. Just kidding. Most of them have been. And it's from KCB. And I was trying to think, do I know a KCB? I even went on the hub and typed out Casey, and that we have several Caseys. Yeah, we have one sitting right there, but it's not KCB, she's KCC. And I thought, I want to know who sent this note. And she said, "Dear Grady, I appreciated your message on not being selfish. And I wanted to send you a card to let you know how much I needed to hear it. Thank you. P.S. Could you tell that this note was written by a robot and not me?" So you only get this if you were here a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about that handwritten site that will handwrite notes for you so you don't have to do it yourself. When I was talking about the importance of doing things ourselves. So somebody out there did it. And I tell you, I was encouraged. KCB, whoever you are, and I want to know so bad who KCB is. You're an all-star. You're an all-star. And that's the whole point. Do you want to be a star? Do you want to be on Northeast's all-star team? Well, sometimes if you just do something on purpose anonymously, a couple of times a year, I try to do something totally anonymous for somebody. And sometimes that's hard to do. There have been times when Jeannie's known about it. There's been times when she hasn't. Totally anonymous. And I can remember conversations I've had with people that maybe something was done, and they'll say something, and there's a part of me that I want to say, It was me. I can't help it. But I will do that purposely just as an exercise to understand that point. Ultimately, being an all-star, the more Jesus lives in us and lives through us, you can be an all-star. Right? Be an all-star in somebody's life this week.